In the name of Jesus, amen. To render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's, is to confess Christ as Lord of all. That is to say, today's gospel reading, today's text, is in a sense like a coin with two sides. On the one side is the saying of Jesus, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. On the other side is, render to God what is God's. Now, when this text comes up for Lutherans, this is usually the launching pad for the pastor's soliloquy on the Lutheran doctrine of the two kingdoms. And that is good and fine and right, and it's worth a moment of reflection. But the fact of the matter is that you can't get the doctrine of the two kings from this, or the two kingdoms from this text by itself. You have to pair it with another, something like what Jesus would say later in the week in which this text was stated, like when he said to Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all if it were not given to you from above." The fact is that if Lutherans would dare to admit it, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's doesn't become a proof text for the two kingdoms unless these two things are put together, unless we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. Indeed, Jesus said as much. Jesus said, as we said to Pilate, give to Caesar what is Caesar, Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no authority unless it had come from above. That is to say, your authority to put me to death comes from God. You see, the truth is that the Lord God allowed the Roman rule. Like the Romans, like the Greeks before them, like the Persians, like the Babylonians, like the Assyrians, like the Egyptians, God had allowed all of them to rule as his left hand, as it were, to maintain, to execute justice, and to maintain order. And this, of course, is among the truths that the Pharisees cannot bear to face. This morning, however, I propose to look at the other side of our text, render to God what is God's. And this text, too, can be greatly misunderstood if it is taken in isolation. Scriptura scripturum interpretatur. Scripture interprets Scripture. And if you don't know what that means, I guess you have to talk to the exegetical faculty. Or now the whole faculty, now that we have curriculum revisions. And we all have to know our Bible. Render to God what is God's. This is understood by some modern-day Pelagians as the self-willed, self-giving of oneself to God for God's purposes. God desires glory, and therefore I purpose to give it to him. Of course, the fact of the matter is that by nature, we have no ability to give God glory, or really to know God at all. You know the text, Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the moment my mother conceived me." Ephesians 2, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Romans 5, "While we were yet enemies." The truth is that by nature, to use a crass word, we can't give squat to God. Or, as St. Paul would say in Philippians, scubala. If you don't know what that means, talk to the faculty over coffee. What then does it mean to render to God what is God's? The beauty, of course, is that it's Jesus who said it. This is the incarnate Son of God, the Word made flesh, the light that shines in the darkness, the one through whom everything is made that has been made. And this light that shines in the darkness at the end of the week in which he says this will finally conquer the darkness. What then does Jesus mean? What is God's that must be rendered back to him? What is God's that must be rendered back to him? You. Not just you, plural. You, singular. You sitting there squirming in your pew, wondering, worrying about the next test. You as a mom, perhaps sitting out there squirming with a kid in your lap, wondering why in the heck you're in godforsaken Fort Wayne. Or I guess you probably won't say that if you haven't been here until January. You who teach, you who administer, you. That's who needs to be rendered to God. You are the ones. You are the blessed ones. Created as we are, all of us, in the divine image, and yet, as the scripture makes clear, sinful, unclean, unholy, despised enemies of God. We, the pinnacle of creation, carried everything down, as we know, with us. And so, at the time of Jesus, the creation groaned in eager expectation for this Son of God to be revealed. Groaning with eager expectation for the rendering. Who does the rendering, then? Jesus does. And this rendering was not cheap, as we know. For there is no forgiveness. There is no reconciliation with God. There is no rendering without the spilling of blood. Jesus knew this as he talked to the scribes, as he talked to the Pharisees, as he talked to the Herodians, and as he said, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." He knew what lay in store for him the end of that week. Jesus knew. And so he made himself nothing, as St. Paul tells us, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the name into which and by which and through which you were washed and sanctified, that you were baptized. This is the name by whom you were buried and raised, into whose death and burial you were. This is the water, my friends, that applies the benefits of the cross directly to you. You have been united to God in a way that will never perish, spoil, or fade, because he never perishes, spoils, or fades. In Christ, therefore, as St. Paul says, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You have become a part of Christ's body, the church. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. God rendered you back to him by his action on the cross and by his glorious resurrection from the dead. Therefore, it is not your old sinful nature that does not want to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. It is not your old sinful nature that desires to come to the altar this day. It is not your old sinful nature which sings as we will. What then shall I offer to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer, by God's grace, the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup, thanks be to God, of salvation, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. You are rendered by God's grace Approach that throne then with confidence. Amen.